Today, the title of my message is Beautiful Feet. I'm taking it from Romans 10. And one of the things is I pray about us as a church. One of the things that I see God doing is moving. He wants to have us acknowledge all of the power that he's given us, all of the fullness of God at our disposal through the Holy Spirit. The enemy wants us to shrink back. Some of you, maybe you turn on the TV and you want to watch what's going on in the Middle East. It's a thing for prayer, but it's not a thing to dwell on. Romans says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news." It's a New Living Translation. Lord, we are the messengers. You have commanded us. You have commanded us to share the gospel. We live in a world that seems to be more opposed to the name of Jesus Christ. But Lord, when you call us, you go before us. When I go to share with somebody, Lord, I know that your Spirit has gone before me. Yes, they can reject it. But that doesn't take away my responsibility. And Lord, I admit, I get nervous to do that. And I know there's different fears and different people. I know we each all have different personalities. Some are more outgoing, some are more reserved. But we have to take our characteristics, we have to take our personalities and lay them at your feet and say, "Lord, here am I, send me." And we need to pray. We need to pray daily. Who is it, Lord, today you want me to share my faith with? It may not be from A to Z. It might be just a snippet. Plant a seed. Let us be seed planters, Lord. You're calling us to go forward with your message, Lord. You have placed New Covenant Community Church at the corner of East 4th and Oneida Street, 51 East Oneida, for a reason, Lord, to impact this section of the city. Give us your heart for the lost, Lord. In your name, amen. You know, it was cute. A while ago, I was watching this mom talk to her little son. He was like 5 years old, something like that. And it's mom's birthday. So she's saying, "Hey, for my birthday, let's go get a pedicure." And he goes, "What?" He goes, Mom, I love you, but no stranger is touching my feet." And she goes on and she plays this card, "But it's my birthday and I love you." And he goes, "Mom, you know I love you. I don't even like to touch my own feet. Ain't no way nobody else is going to touch my feet." Now today, let's have beautiful feet. For the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring the good news. We are God's warning label. I read some examples of foolish warning labels from Reader's Digest. On a wheelbarrow, it says, "Not intended for highway use." On a can of pepper spray, it says, "Do not put in your eyes." On a baby stroller, "Remove the child before folding." On a Chipotle truck, "Drivers do not carry burritos." On a jet ski, "Never use a lit match to check the fuel level." on a hairdryer. Do not use while sleeping. Now, we laugh at stuff like that, but when I was in college, BC, that means before Christ, I had a longer beard, quite longer. And I learned if you've been out using adult beverages, don't trim your beard at 2:30 in the morning because you fall asleep and you're missing half your beard. So if you're using a hairdryer, don't do it while sleeping. On a printer cartridge, do not eat the toner. But wear God's warning label. I pray, Lord, touch my family that doesn't know you. And as I pray that God, I pray, send people. And he goes, yeah, but I'm also going to send you. Oh, I can give you a million reasons why I shouldn't share with people. And if I was to talk to somebody, if I saw somebody going to harm, to danger, we'd warn them. We live in a world that's looking for eternal damnation. I can look at the Middle East, and one of the things that amazes me is we don't like prejudice, but if we're honest, we all are prejudiced to some degree. I've shared before, when I worked at Nine Mile, they sent a bunch of people from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, up to the plant. They drove me nuts. This one lady turned my heat on to 90 degrees in January. I was never prejudiced before, but then I did become prejudiced against Louisiana people. So we go to Disney World, and we're riding this old train that goes like 2 miles an hour, and this old gentleman sat next to me, and he looked like my dad, who'd been dead for about 5 years at that time. And we're talking, and he even talks like my dad. Yeah, I'm from Oswego, yada, yada, yada. He goes, yeah, I'm from Louisiana. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, gotcha, idiot. But one of the things that amazes me, the acceptance of prejudice against the Jews in the media, some college campuses, it just, why? Because it's a spiritual thing. Now, I also know the nation of Israel, they ain't getting into heaven unless they have Jesus Christ, but that's our prayer. But we have to look at the world's condition, and rather than getting beaten down, we got to puff our chests because God has called us to minister his word, his love to this community. We need to embrace God's heart, no more unwarned. I was listening to this pastor speak about how many people don't know haven't heard the gospel. And they said, if you took 3 feet of people, you know, you made a roll of 3 or 4 feet deep, and you wrapped it around the world of people that haven't heard the gospel, it'd go around the world 5 times. That's a lot of people that need to know about Jesus. So we need, you and me, need to embrace God's heart for the lost. But I'm not like, no, God commands us to do that. We need to have God's heart for the lost. Yes, this passage of Romans applies primarily to Israel, but it also applies to us and the lost souls of the world that God is calling us to implicate, to talk to. You know, I from the famous theologian Leroy Jethro Gibbs from NCIS, there are no coincidences. The people that God puts in your life, he wants you to talk to, not to bring them to me. A year ago, in the fall of 2022, I mentioned going forward with vision. We've talked about unity, how we need to be unified together so when God brings changes, we don't murmur, we walk together in prayer and move forward. I talked about outreach, and I talked about our need to be holy and righteous. We need to understand how you live is going to impact other people. How you live is going to add to your testimony or detract. I was sharing with somebody once when I didn't work for the church. I was in my workplace, and they sat down and said to me, I'm going to listen to you because I've watched you for a year, and you really live what you believe. That's not to puff me off, but that's to say, if you can't tell the difference between me and somebody without God, something's wrong. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that I'm supposed to be different. So I need to settle it in my heart. And this is what Paul's saying to the Romans, that Jesus is the only way to heaven. There's a mindset. There's two ways to heaven. You do or it's done. What I mean by do is I'm going to work my way into heaven. I'm going to be so good that God can't deny me. That will never work, because there's none that are righteous, not even one. Or done. The cross is empty, because my Savior paid the price. And I asked him to forgive me for my sins, and I surrendered my life to him. It is done. When I am dead, I am alive with Christ forever. What Paul is saying in these verses are, people can't be saved. What do you mean? Salvation, that your sins are wiped away, that God looks down on you and he sees a pure person. Why? Because you said, God, forgive me, come into my life. I'm going to repent. I'm not living that way anymore. I'm living your way. So when God looks down at me and he has 20/20 vision, he sees Christ in me, so I am saved. So he says people can't be saved unless they call on Jesus. They can't call on Jesus unless they believe. Please don't get lost in the English word believe. It means they accept him. They surrender their lives to him. They fully know that they know that they know that they know that he's the Savior and he's the only way to heaven. As Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Paul goes on to say that faith comes by hearing. So they have to hear the message. How do they hear the message? You send a messenger. God calls messengers and sends them. No, don't get your guard down, because if you're in this room and you have a relationship with Christ, you are called to be a messenger. We're privileged to be a messenger. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, the good news of peace and salvation. The news that the God of Israel reigns. I want to encourage you today. You're called. You're called to share the gospel. When you wake up in the morning, before you jump out of bed, say, man, Lord, thank you, I'm alive. Who do you want me to impact for you today? And Lord, give me the strength to do it. And if you pray, give me the courage to do it, he won't. But he will put you in a place where you need courage. That's how you get courage. When you're in a place and your palms are sweating and you don't know what to say, call on the name of the Lord. I am not a smooth talker. I've used one pickup line in my life and it worked and I married the girl. So, you know, I've been in places where I say, Lord, tell me what to say. And sometimes I've said the stupidest opening lines, but God uses it. Why? Because he's the Holy Spirit. He's God. I'm not. I'm just the vessel. Matthew goes on to say, a faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his household, his other household servants, and feeding them. We are the servants. Maybe your primary gift isn't evangelism. I know mine isn't, but I know I'm called to evangelize. Do you know who likes the word evangelism? Nobody. The unsaved don't want to hear it, and the Christians don't want to be pushed. I understand the hesitation that comes. You know, I look at like Matthew 24. I read Matthew 24, talks about there be wars and rumors of wars. But then we don't read the next part that says, don't worry, you got a whole long time to go. Newsflash, I think we're still going to be here next week. But we need to pray. You need to pray. You need to look at your friends and family members, and you need to look at their eternity. And you have to be willing for them to hold you at bay because they know what you're about. You got to pay that price. We need to pray to overcome the fear and the anxiety that creeps in. And one thing that I've been saying for years, pray for one person that God wants you to build relationship with and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with. We need to be a faithful servant. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. You know that person in your life? Maybe they're a little vulgar. Maybe they're outrageous. And maybe God is saying to you, I want you to share with them. And you say, that ain't going to happen. You know what God's saying? I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Taney Justice Beaumont III is my father who called me brainwashed. I shared with him 36 hours before he died. He came to Jesus Christ. If there's ever anybody I thought would never come to salvation, it's him. God has the authority. When he calls us, he goes before us. When he reveals who you're to reach out to, guess what? The Holy Spirit has already touched their life. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Let our hearts echo the words of Jesus from Luke 2. I must be about my Father's business. Not my business, not my hopes, not my dreams. I must be about my Father's business. This is not a strength of my life, but I am praying about this as a church. We need to pray and we need to reach out. You build relationships, but you get to the place where you got to bring Christ into it. I know we are each uniquely made. Some of us are more reserved and quiet. Some of us are more outgoing. Okay, use your personality and pray for wisdom. And ask God, how do I build a relationship? Your initial response when he gives you a name is going to probably be, forget about it. But we have to surrender to God. Use your personality, but get engaged. We have to engage. I just started reading a book by Greg Laurie called Tell Someone. We need to tell people the gospel. People are afraid out there. Some of the biggest people, the people that are the biggest blowhards, excuse me, when I share with them one-on-one, it's amazing how the walls come down. One day I prayed, Lord, give me one person. He put me in a room with six people I was sharing with. I thought I'd quit for 6 days. I shared once and one guy goes, you Christians, and he let me have it. Funny thing, his name was Ken Wells, but not the Ken Wells we know. And he left, and I said, I'm still standing. That didn't hurt as much as I thought it did. You can reject me, but I don't want him to reject me. I need to be about my Father's business. So do you. Let's begin together. Years ago, I was a counselor at a Billy Graham crusade. And I go to training, and they said, Billy Graham said this, the three most important things about sharing the gospel. Pray, number two, pray. Number three, guess what it is? You guys catch on good. We need to be in prayer. I don't want to go in my strength. I want to go on his strength. And you are going to have our, and are you kidding me, movement? Him? Yeah, him. Because God has gone before you. Tomorrow is a day of prayer and fasting. How much you engage is up to you. But let's pray for outreach. Let's pray for the prodigals. Let's pray for the people in our lives that I'm sorry, they're not going to heaven right now. But God, I'm not in their life just for a reason. This is so important to me that 3 weeks from today, on Sunday, November 12th, weather permitting, I want 6 volunteers. While I preach, you're going to go out in the neighborhood and you're going to pray. So I'm looking for 3 teams of 2 people that when the sermon starts for 20 minutes, you go through the neighborhood. No, it's not an excuse not to hear me talk. And no, you're not going to talk about the weather. You're going to go through the neighborhood, say, Lord, you don't have to even close your eyes. You can walk just like you're talking and say, Lord, man, move in this neighborhood. I pray for this house right here, Lord, that they come to know you if they don't already. So after the service, I want 6 people to come up to me and say, man, you know what? I'll do that. Because we're going to start doing more prayer walks. We're going to start getting real about this neighborhood, and we're going to start reaching out for people. I'm excited by what God wants to do through us. Guess what? I'm a little anxious too. Because that's where faith comes in. Faith comes in when God calls me out of my comfort zone. Because if I was in my comfort zone, it wouldn't be faith. So we need to build relationships with people who are not believers, and we need to keep developing that relationship. You know, I found something interesting this week. I've quoted this before. A quote by St. Francis of Assisi has been widely quoted. Tell someone the gospel if you have to use words. Have you ever heard that? Yeah, do you know there's no evidence he ever said that? Oh, it makes it sound good. That means I can just be a good person and I don't have to tell people about Jesus. I'm not saying he didn't say it. It's never been proven that he did. So we need to build relationships, and you need to engage with your mouth. To me, discipling people is, I talk to people, maybe they're going through marriage problems, say, hey, you know what works in my marriage? This is what the Bible says. Oh, you're having financial problems? Oh, whew, can I relate to that? Man, God really helped me with that. Oh, you sick? Yeah, I remember when I had a tumor. They were going to operate on me. Then I got prayed for. Miraculously, the tumor left. The doctor didn't know how. Now, God doesn't do that all the time, but let me tell you the peace God gave me. I remember going through that period late at night, being up with my mom, and aren't you worried? No, I really wasn't. God got this. One way we need to keep praying, how do we reach out to this community? When we show the community we love them, we care about them, it opens the doors. We can't be too ingrown. We need to go outside these walls. The world needs Jesus Christ. There is a lot of fear and hopelessness being spread. I got to be honest. I grieve when I hear the people I hear, oh my gosh, they watch the news for hours on a day. I don't. Oh, I watch some of it because I want to be informed. But the more you watch it, the more you're going to have fear. You're going to have this. You're going to have that. I'm looking to Christ. I'm watching stuff on YouTube that's evangelists telling how they do stuff, and I'm getting encouraged. I got the message that's going to have eternity. It's not going to be the Democrats or Republicans. We have to have faith that God goes before us. Pastor J.D. Greer talked about this teen girl got, she came to a relationship with Christ in his church. She goes, man, I really want my young sister to know about this. So about 6 months later, she came to him and said, would you go and tell my sister the gospel? Sure. So they both go to this young woman. J.D. shares with her, and she accepts the gospel. So she turns to her older sister and goes, you got to know this too. The older sister said, I have. She said, when? About 6 months ago. The younger sister goes, why didn't you tell me? There's people that are scared to death. Some of the people that I know that put on the biggest show, the most grandiose display, I know them, they are so insecure. Some of the people that, like I said, they're the biggest blowhards. They're afraid. I got a friend of mine, when you die, you just become worm food. Then he didn't want to have a knee operation because he knew somebody that died during surgery. So I'm going to be getting together with him in November. Say, why are you afraid, big boy? You just become worm food. I've gotten outrageous for God before. When I have people get rebellious in my face against God, sometimes I don't get rebellious, but I get just in their face about God. I find they shut up and turn the page. How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. New covenant. God is saying, I got you. I have called you to share the gospel. I'm going to close in a couple minutes. If you want, I could talk to you all afternoon about the NFL. I could talk to you about the incredible meat night we had the other night. But I don't want to. I want to encourage you with Jesus Christ. Because you are the messengers that God is equipping. So our summary this morning is we need to pray more. And there's going to be times when God shows you who to talk to, and maybe you don't. Okay, pick yourself up, pray, move forward. Don't beat yourself up. Pray about who you are to share your faith with. I was on a construction site once, and I'm sharing with this young hippie friend of mine, and this old, big, gruff guy comes in, and I just wanted to shut up because I didn't want to get beat up. So I kept talking, and my young hippie friend just blew me off and mocked me out and left. And I'm looking at the other guy, he goes, you told him the truth. My man was a believer. Aren't you glad I didn't listen to my own self? So pray about who you are to share with. God goes before you. Why? Jesus has been given all authority on heaven and earth. Pray for courage when the opportunity arises. Trust that God has gone before you. Don't let rejection stop you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I'm excited by what you're doing. You're going to show us who to reach out to. For a start, it might be, hey, you know what? Let's go out to breakfast. Let me bring you to church. That's good. All we have to do is say, hey, can I tell you what Jesus has done for me? That's a simple line. Sometimes they say yes, sometimes they say no. If they say no, that's on them. I can get myself, God, so worked up in anxiety about sharing with people sometimes. Whew, devil has a field day in my insides. But when it happens, you got this. You have called us to reach out, Lord. And we do. But you're calling us to a new level. a new awareness, Lord. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we live in Oswego, New York. We live in the state of New York. It's not too conservative. But we're a light in the darkness. Let us not be moved by the personalities of other people, but let us be moved by the Holy Spirit. Let us know that you go before us, Lord. Let us pray. And tomorrow, Lord, as we pray throughout the day, let us pray for people we know that don't know you. Let us pray for the prodigals. When you have a prodigal in your life, Lord God, it can really drag you down. So I thank you for New Covenant Community Church, Lord. Pray a blessing and strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to say one thing quickly in closing. So we had this men's social the other night. I'm driving home afterward. I was just so happy that I belong to New Covenant Community Church. I just want to say God is doing something. This place is awesome, and you're awesome. I cannot tell you the gratitude I had going home saying, just hanging out, eating and talking and eating. It was fun. You guys are awesome. God bless you. Have a great day. And if you want to walk around in 3 weeks praying for this neighborhood, talk to me. Blessings.